broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios. This is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Big day down at Parks, and we'll be a little Parks-centric this morning and concentrate on some of the stakes action, give you some ideas on what is a fabulous card highlighted by the Pennsylvania Derby, but a great undercard of stakes, including the Cotillion and much more. And we'll kick things off right at the top of the show with Jessica Paquette, who is down at Parks as part of the media team down there for Pennsylvania Derby Day. We'll get some of her thoughts. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. We'll get some of your thoughts. Before we do that, though, as always, when I prep for some interviews, I'll go and check out folks' Twitter feed. And I will commend you. I pulled up a shot from, it must be you sitting in the airport looking at your computer, wearing the Chuck Taylors. And you are much younger than I, so you are paying homage to the Chuck. But when I was a kid, that was the shoe. I mean, there was no Air Jordan when I was a kid. I had the Chuck Taylors all the time. And I also appreciate you wearing the low tops, which is the way I went to.
Well, I'm a very short person, so the high tops are extraordinarily unflattering on me. But the Chuck Taylors are always my jam.
I like that. Very good. Again, I had to tip my cap to you. And I also wanted to touch on a couple other things that I was reminded when I looked at your Twitter feed yesterday. Before we get to Parks, because, boy, you've been traveling around. You look at the Twitter feed, wearing many hats, but one of those hats, this summer you were down at Colonial Downs, and I will admit I'm a little bit of a homer, and I'm Saratoga-centric in the summertime because we broadcast every day from the backstretch at Saratoga, so I really concentrate more on that, but I was paying attention. It looked like a fun summer down there at Colonial. You and Jason Beam down there. Talk about Colonial for folks up here who may have summer plans in the future and should they stick Colonial in those summer plans?
You absolutely should make Colonial a must-visit destination for the summer. It is such a fun track. It's an amazing team. And really, it's just fun. It feels like summer vacation or summer camp.
And the nice thing about it, too, there's a lot of familiar names. For folks who follow New York racing, a lot of familiar names show up there.
That's true. I mean, there are big barns, big riders from all across the country, but also the Mid-Atlantic Jockey Colony really holds their own. It's a really competitive track.
Yeah, as I say, it looks like a lot of fun. I'd love to get down there and catch some Colonial racing. One other event that I wanted to touch on, because I haven't talked about it enough here on the show, but it's a great charity-oriented event, and you were down at the Real Riders Cup, and I think we have a shot of folks kind of walking the course, as it were, and you're in the shot over there on the left, second from the left, and I think that's Maggie kind of obscured in the green with the yellow dots. And over on the right, our friend Penelope Miller, obviously in the Mary Lou Whitney silks. But for folks who aren't familiar, I'm guessing you were not riding, you were covering, but fill people in on that event.
So this year I was the announcer rather than a participant. I broke my back in a riding accident last October, so I wasn't quite ready to catch ride a horse I didn't know over some good-sized jumps, but I was really grateful to still be able to participate in some way. It's such a great event. It showcases the versatility and generosity of the thoroughbred. Many of the riders are riding horses they've never ridden before, all off-the-track thoroughbreds of various ages and experiences. We had one, a son of more than ready that's 20 years old, go around the course, and boy, they age like a fine wine.
Yeah, and you know, we've had Sean Clancy on the show before talking about the thoroughbreds who move on to the jump scene and have an extra career there. And we've talked about how long they can live and how long they can have that second career and take your thoroughbred before it gets to the point where they have to leave the track and get them to leave the track and go to that second career. And that's where the money that's raised, it benefits, kind of the aftercare and the retirements as well.
And to your point there, that's such an important point that can't be overstated. I have two off-the-track thoroughbreds. One was retired, perfectly sound and able to go on and have a very ambitious second career, and we did. And the other one, he was one more raced more than once, and he is a lovely pastor ornament who wants for nothing, but he could have had a wonderful second career, but unfortunately, he just wasn't able to. So I implore people to stop on them while they can still go and do something else.
And I will also note, as I said, I think she was a little obscure, but Maggie Wolfendale was in there. She tweeted out a video. She was going around the course very nicely when a stray dog kind of barked, and she got tossed from her horse but wound up
It wasn't the dog. It was the horse had some. He was a little apprehensive about the entire ordeal. It was the dog wasn't the thing. He was doing a job that was a little different than the job he normally does, and the turns weren't really agreeing with him.
Okay, I certainly defer to you on that. But if you go down Maggie Wolfendorf's Twitter feed, you can see her going around. But again, the real Riders' Cup annual event, and again, benefits aftercare and whatnot, so worthy. All right, let's just shift our attention to parks for this afternoon. First, let's get an update. What's the weather going to look like today?
It's perfect. It's a perfect day. It's going to be in the 70s, fast and firm, just a glorious day to be at the racetrack.
Yeah, and a glorious card as well. And let's kind of work our way back through some of the stakes, and we'll start with the highlight, the Pennsylvania Derby. I pulled up a replay, the stretch run of the Haskell. Nice ding-dong battle between number one Cyberknife and number two Taba. They come back today, and Taba hasn't been seen since the Haskell. Subsequently, Cyberknife ran second right up here for us behind Epicenter in the Travers, but they're going to take a lot of action, obviously. I thought Zandon was clearly interesting. Tawny Port, We the People is kind of intriguing. Skippy Longstockings, fun field of 11 schedule. I haven't not known what to do with White Obario over the last few starts. We were down covering the Florida Derby, and that victory was so good. I was expecting a good year from White Obario. I wouldn't be shocked to see him rebound, but off the last few, I couldn't quite pull the trigger in that direction. How did you see the Pennsylvania Derby?
So I wasn't that interested in White Obario until I got to watch him come off the trailer yesterday with Staffy Joseph.
Okay.
He looks fantastic. He just bounced off of the trailer. The trip seemingly took nothing out of him. He kind of made a believer out of me in person. He's not in my initial selections, but I might utilize him. My top choice is Zandon. I have kind of maintained that he is one of the best in the division all season. And without having to deal with Epicenter, who is at this point obviously the standout, I think he gets a chance to step into the spotlight on his own.
And Taba and Cyberknife, your thoughts there?
I like Cyberknife. Taba, I have not known what to do with all season, so I'm not going to start trying to figure him out now.
Yeah, well, I've been in that camp as well. And like I say, I'm a little bit in that camp with White Obario in here. He looks so good in that Florida Derby. I hope he does rebound and at least run well for us, Safi. All right, let's go one race earlier and take a look at the Cotillion. I'm going to take a little shot in here. I think Shahama may just be getting good at this point. I'm going to pull up a replay of the Monmouth Oaks. Shahama is going to be the number five horse. And as I say, I'm just hoping that maybe has rounded into good form since arriving here in America. Obviously, the horse that's going to take the action, probably the horse to beat, is the Kentucky Oaks winner, Secret Oath. Be fun to see Wayne Lucas win the race. Certainly, Adair Manor is interesting. Goddess of Fire. Your thoughts on the Cotillion?
So for me, this race is more about a stand against than a stand for. I think Secret Oath at this point, maybe the rigors of a very tough campaign are starting to take their toll on her. She's obviously an incredible filly, but it's a tough ask. She's had a really hard, long campaign. She's shown up every single time. I like Society Number 9 a little bit. I think she's kind of the quintessential Steve Asmussen horse getting good at the right time. I'm willing to toss the CCAO. It was a small field. I thought it was sort of a tactical, weirdly run sort of race, and she somehow found a ton of trouble in a small field. I like how she rebounded last time out. I also, Adair Manor, I saw a really interesting video of her galloping where she was almost doing tempi changes, lead changes with every stride. And when you see a horse swapping leads in a race, it's usually because they're tired. In a gallop, it's because she's so fresh. To me, she looks like a horse just coming out of her skin right now, and I bet she runs really big.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, as I say, I kind of like her coming out of that second in the Black Eyed Susan. A little bit of a layup, but has been working well out in Southern California, as you would expect the Bob Baffert horses to do. All right, let's go a little bit earlier. The Gallant Bob, we're looking at three-year-old sprinters. Field of 14 scheduled, $300,000 up for grabs, going six furlongs. Did the handicapping show earlier today, and I said, I'm going to take a shot with Provocateur coming out of that Jersey Shore win. We're going to look at that stretch run. Provocateur is going to be the number four horse here. You know, relatively lightly raced with only eight starts, and maybe it's just getting good now for Todd Pletcher. So I'll tilt in that direction. I didn't know if there was a standout in here, so I'll take the 4-1 in Irod Ortiz. Nakatomi may be the one to beat for Wesley Ward, but with only the one start this year, I was lacking confidence. And I thought running Son of a Gun coming out of a couple of third places in stakes up at Saratoga was also a player. What did you see in the Gallant Bob?
My top selection is number 12, Alotta Hope, who I think could be an interesting long shot. This is a very contentious wide-open race. For me, if I'm playing a horizontal here, this is where I have to go a little bit deep. But I like that this horse is so versatile pace-wise. He's the kind that can kind of put himself in a position where he can be successful, regardless of how it shakes out in front of him. And these are deep waters, no question about it. But his last start against Graded Stakes Company was really pretty solid.
Yeah, I looked at him, and the Laurel start, and obviously the Charlestown start comes in very good form, no question about it. And you're going to get paid, and I think you're right. I kind of alluded to it. I think it is a very wide open race, and so we're taking a little bit of a pop in there. All right, let's go one race earlier and take a look at race number 9, the Turf Monster. I tilted towards Nothing Better in here, coming out of the second place finish last time, but the win two back kind of attracted my attention. Last time was a mile, two back was the 5.5, so I think getting back to the sprint is going to be beneficial for that one. And I thought That's Right was intriguing in here. I also used a little bit of Groom's All Business. What are your thoughts on the Turf Monster?
I have That's Right on top, and I'm really intrigued by number 5, Uncle Ernie. This is a very tough spot to try something for the first time. He's trying the lawn for the first time, but he's been just the model of consistency on the main track. And I know there's never a guarantee that dirt speed translates to turf speed and vice versa, but if it does, I think he'll be a big factor on the front end.
Yeah, it certainly is, again, an interesting, nice full field. As the entire card, when we did the handicappers report earlier, we were looking and kind of counting the entries. And the folks down there at Parks today did a fabulous job putting together really a fabulous card, a fabulous stakes card as well. And I think Parks has found a very unique spot on the schedule for this weekend that plays out very well for them.
I think so, too. They did a phenomenal job putting this card together, and I'm really honored to get to be a part of it and hang out with some great people all day.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Jessica, we appreciate the visit. We wish you and everybody down at Parks a good afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Best of luck. Thank you, Seth.
Appreciate it. Jessica Paquette, again, part of the media team down at Parks on a really fabulous day. You know, again, we went over a few of those, but a little bit earlier is the Greenwood Cup. We talked about that on the handicapping show earlier with Fearless coming out of the win in the Birdstone and the Brooklyn. A little prior to that will be the Parks Dirt Mile with Mind Control, who is last year's champion in that race. And a little bit earlier than that, the Plum Pretty, who I use Leader of the Board in there. That's a state bred race, and there's a few of those state bred stakes race that kind of kick off the day. So the stakes action kicking off in race number 4. With, again, a state-bred stakes race. So race number 4 through the finale, stakes action all day, and really nice stakes action. So once again, the day kicks off in race number 1 at 12:05, and we'll wrap up in race number 13 at 6:40, which will overlap Churchill Downs, so you can jump in and enjoy a little late night Churchill Downs as that will progress until about 11 o'clock. So a full day ahead of really great action, and I'll talk a little bit later about the Churchill Downs card, because that's a solid card as well with some nice stakes action also. So as I say, a full day of great racing ahead, including Belmont at Aqueduct and much, much more. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Tim Wilkin, who is also down at Parks. We'll get some of his thoughts. He's been buzzing around the backstretch the past few days, part of the notes team, writing some of the press releases that have been sent out. He's been tweeting out some pictures and videos from the backstretch. We'll hear if there's some backstretch buzz, perhaps, down there at Parks on any of the entrants and more. We'll also get some of Tim's thoughts, because he was part of the team, the media team down at Kentucky Downs. He left Saratoga right after the meet and headed down to Kentucky Downs. So we'll get some of his thoughts there as well. All of that right after this, as a Saturday morning Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku.
The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, our friend Tim Wilkin will join us now from Parks on a Park-centrics morning here on Racing Across America with a fabulous Pennsylvania Derby card. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Glad to be with you. I think the last time I was with you was the last Saturday at Saratoga.
Absolutely.
In the backstretch.
Absolutely. And then you covered the last couple of days and headed down to Kentucky Downs. We'll talk a little bit about that as well in a few, but before we do that, let's concentrate on Parks. Just talked to Jessica Paquette and got some of her thoughts on the card, and it sounds like the weather is going to be perfect for a Pennsylvania Derby Day card.
It is. You know, when I got down here on Wednesday, it felt like summer in Saratoga because it was pretty warm, and then we had some pretty good rain on Thursday, I believe, and then it cooled right off. It's probably like in the 50s right now. They expect temperatures to rise into the 70s, but with no chance of rain whatsoever, so it should be a phenomenal day of racing.
Excellent. I'm wondering, have you had a chance to talk to Chris Griffin? I'm wondering if he expressed any thoughts on the new New York gig.
I actually talked to Chris a couple days ago on the backstretch, and I just talked to him about 10 minutes ago. He's really, really looking forward to it. I believe he's going to stay here at Parks, I want to say through November, and then he's going to start the new head north to Belmont, but up our aqueduct. And he's really looking forward to it, and I think the people here at Parks are a little bummed out because they thought that when he came here, they'd have him for at least a little longer than they have, because you know, he's an up-and-coming guy in this industry, and, you know, and now they're going to have to find someone to, you know, call down here. And Chris is a very, very good announcer, and I think the people in New York are going to love him. I mean, they had a little bit of a taste of him. I think, was it last year maybe, he called a couple days at Saratoga, I want to say. I think that's correct. Last year.
Yeah, he's definitely called some races in New York, so we've gotten a taste of him. But he was down in Texas. Then when longtime Parks announcer Keith Jones retired, he came up to Parks,
right.
and he is an up-and-comer. He's bounced around a couple of venues to do some substitutes, including New York, and it's going to be fun to have him in New York on at least a more a full-time/part-time basis doing the aqueduct meets going forward. And again, for folks who aren't familiar, John Embriel is going to continue with Belmont, and Frank Miramonte will be doing Saratoga. But I was just curious. I was sure he was probably excited about the move. But we'll have him down at Parks today calling Pennsylvania Derby card. And as I said, you've been on the backstretch. You've been tweeting out some pictures and some videos. I pulled up one of the videos, Adair Manor and Taba paddock schooling. I believe that was yesterday. Talk a little bit about Pennsylvania Derby and the Baffert horse, Taba.
You know, he is just a horse that is like, I think he's sitting on a powder keg. He's got tons of talent. I mean, he's lightly raced. He's got the four races under his belt. And, I mean, you don't go from a maiden jump right into the Santa Anita Derby and pretty much dominate that, unless you got some serious talent. I mean, yeah, he didn't, you know, then there was even a bigger ask when they wanted him to run in the Derby, and, you know, that a huge ask on two starts, and he ran like that. But then he came, you know, after the freshening, he came back into the Haskell, and you know, he and Cyberknife really threw it down in the stretch, and I just think that I've talked to Bob. This Bob is not here. He's staying in California. Jimmy Barnes is here with the horse. But, you know, Bob is expecting a huge effort out of him. And, you know, if we can get the same stretch duel that we had between Cyberknife and Tava this afternoon, it's going to be a really fun race to watch. But, you know, if Tava continues to improve like he has been, this could be a very serious runner moving forward. I mean, is he gonna be a horse that can beat Flightline in the Breeders' Cup Classic? No, I don't think so. But, you know, I think he's a horse that's gonna do a lot of pretty cool things before his time is done.
Yeah, I put him on top over Cyberknife just on all the things you were talking about. I mean, it seems the potential is really there. Been working very well in Southern California. It was good to see him at the paddock schooling. I pulled up another video from Thursday. You had Cyberknife out galloping. How's Cyberknife look?
Cyberknife looks good. I mean, he's just, I remember talking to Brad Cox after the Arkansas Derby. And he was saying that this horse, he thought, would be one that would do good things later in the year. Well, obviously, we're later in the year now, and he's got that Haskell when he had a, you know, he gutted out the second place finish, beating Zandon by a nose in Travers. And, you know, he seems to, they weren't going to run him here at first. I mean, there might be a couple reasons why that he's here. One being that, you know, Brad probably figures his horse is doing so well now. He bounced out of the Travers really, really well. And, you know, the old adage, you run them when they're good. And, you know, this is the last dance for the three-year-olds running against each other. And why not come here if you're doing well? And the other thing, too, I mean, some of these horsemen are saying, man, let's get the money while we can, because it's going to be a daunting challenge to face that monster out in at Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup Classic. But, Cyberknife is doing really well. And Brad's high on Tawny Port, too. It's the other horse that he brought in here that he's been targeted this race ever since he was third in the Gin Dandy. This is where they wanted to go with him. I mean, he's been overshadowed, obviously, by Cyberknife. But I wouldn't sleep on him either. I mean, he's got some talent. And, I mean, the thing, too, Seth, is that this race is really a very, very contentious, competitive race. You know, you got 11 horses in here, and, you know, we didn't see that often at Saratoga in the big races. So hats off to the people down here at Parks for putting this together. They got a very, really, very, very good field here for this race.
Yeah, the whole card is like that. I will second that. Hats off to the folks down there. And in this race, you know, Zandon obviously out of the third in the Travers is interesting. I'm wondering if there's any buzz on the backstretch, any wise guy horse, because when I talked to Jessica earlier, I said, White of Barrio, when we were down covering the Florida Derby, that victory was so good. I thought he was going to have a season. Hasn't quite lived up to it, but he wouldn't shock me. Simplification, again, earlier this year, looked good down in Florida. Hasn't quite lived up to that. And We the People for Rudy Brissett, I think, is intriguing as well. Is there any kind of wise guy horse on the backstretch?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, because there aren't really many people here to give the wise guy impressions, because the backstretch has basically been a ghost town. Myself and Tom Law and Anthony Afrani, who were doing the Parks Notes team, we've been out to the barn area, and hardly any trainers are here. Safi Joseph came in yesterday. Antonio Sano has been here for a couple weeks. He brought this horse in. Simplification had two works here. He's been here. But, you know, the main guys, and I think Rudy Brissett is here. But we haven't seen any Chad Brown. We haven't seen any Brad Cox. I believe he's coming in today. So as far as buzz, I guess we've had to make the buzz ourselves from the horses that we've seen. And, you know, the other thing, too, is a lot of the horses didn't get here till late. Daffy's horses didn't ship in till yesterday. White Abario and Skippy Longstocking. As far as buzz, no. But if I'm going to make a buzz, I'm going to put a little buzz out for Zandon because I think he's being overlooked. And I think he always runs good wherever he goes. I think that horse will have a say in what happens today.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Let's go a race earlier to the Cotillion. And I'm just curious, is Wayne Lucas there? And what are your thoughts, Secret Oath? I'm taking a little shot with Shahama, but Secret Oath just going to be interesting coming out of the second place finish in both the Alabama and the Coaching Club American Oaks behind Nest. What are your thoughts on the Cotillion? And again, is Wayne Lucas there or expected to be there?
Wayne did not come in with the horse. Now, the horse was in Saratoga. She stayed at Saratoga after the meet ended because Wayne did not want to have to ship her back to Kentucky and then have to ship her up here. So he left her there with his longtime assistant, Boss Nickel. He did the same thing with We'll Take Charge when he won the Pennsylvania Derby in 2013. He won the Travers and he kept him there. Wayne, the rumor is, or the scuttlebutt is, that he's supposed to be flying in today. I'd be surprised if he's not here because, you know, this is his barn star.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, as good as Secret Oath was early this year, you know, is it, granted, she ran against Nest in her last two and got her head handed to her both times, finishing second. But there's no Nest in here, but there are some other pretty good fillies gonna take a shot at Secret Oath. Yeah, she's the favorite, but I think she's a vulnerable favorite. You know, I'm taking a shot against, Todd Pletcher, who will not be here. Actually, Todd's in Saratoga today. Because Life Is Good. Life Is Good is still in Saratoga. A lot of Todd's big horses are still in Saratoga because, you know, with the situation at Belmont.
All right.
Life is good as scheduled to work today on the main track at Saratoga, which I find interesting. All his good horses are still up there, and I believe they'll probably be leaving soon because they're running next week. A lot of them are running next week. But I found it interesting that, you know, Life Is Good is, he never left Saratoga. So, you know, and Todd is very high on his 3-year-old fillies in here. I mean, they don't have the buzz that Secret Oath has, but, you know, like Goddess of Fire was third to her in the Alabama. And, you know, I think Gerrymander from Chad Brown could also rebound a little bit from that Alabama when she was a sort of dull fifth. I think this horse, this race, has a field of nine, and again, kudos to Parks for getting these horses. Adair Manor, the other horse that Bob Baffert sent here, was second in the Black Eyed Susan in her last start, and, you know, he's getting Mike Smith to ride, and Mike's riding Taba. He's picking up the mount on Adair Manor. She was used to be ridden by Johnny V, but Johnny V's going to ride Goddess of Fire for Todd. So I think this is a very contentious field. Personally, I'd like to see Secret Oath win because I think that's the better story, to see if she can rebound and head into the Breeders' Cup with a showdown with Ness. But very contentious race. I hope Secret Oath wins, but my money's not going to be on Secret Oath.
I'm with you, the whole sentiment with you, because I picked Shahama on top with Secret Oath underneath. But it seems like a lot of people are feeling like maybe Secret Oath is you know, has gone over the top a little bit. But those two second place finishes to Nest, if Nest was in here, she'd be about 1-9. So I'm wondering if we may not. I'll be interested to see where the odds wind up with Secret Oath. Will the betting public kind of ignore that one a little bit? And maybe she just is better and runs away. And I agree with you. That's the better story, obviously, with Dwayne Lucas, if he could get the win in the Cotillion. So interested to see how that shakes out. Go ahead.
And the other thing about that, too, Seth, this is going to be her eighth start of this year.
Yeah.
You know, And Wayne is always says, I run them when he runs them when they're good. And he has all the confidence in the world in the horse. He doesn't. He's never been a guy that believes in, you know, resting a horse. That's never been his MO. He likes to run, you know, long, arduous campaigns. And I think that, I mean, he knows the horse better than I do. But, you know, sometimes you push the envelope a little bit too far. Maybe he is with this one.
Also, you know, I pulled up the notes that were sent out yesterday by Tom Law, and you and Tom and Anthony all have some contributions to that. But one of the things that stood out, we've just talked about a couple of the big stakes with big national names, but the card starts earlier with some state bred, some Pennsylvania bred stakes that I think play into the guys who are day to day down there. And on the notes that were sent out, you guys had interviewed Butch Reed and John Service. And as you say, maybe some of the big names haven't arrived down there already. But what is the buzz on the big day amongst the locals down there? It seems like they have to be thrilled with a day like this.
Oh, they're absolutely thrilled with it. You know, these are the guys that call Parks home. They're here. They're here every day, 24/7, all year long. And it's, you know, this is the only day that the racing world has its eyes fixed on Parks. So these guys love to be able to showcase their little track down here in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, which is about 20 miles outside of Philly. And, you know, people remember John Service as the trainer of Smarty Jones back in 2004, who almost won the Triple Crown. And that became one of the best sports stories of that year, not just horse racing, the whole year. And they really do it up nice down here. They have a big hat giveaway. The Mummers, the crazy people from the play that music, come in here and prance around. And it reminds me of my old friend Mike Jarbo, a family of Jarbos running around here playing their music. I mean, but it's a big festive atmosphere. And, you know, it's not like Saratoga where they line up outside the gates, you know, before the Travers to run here and get picnic tables. But there's a line out here for people to come in here to get picnic tables. And I don't know what time they got here. One of the bosses out here was telling me that he thought they'd be getting here early in the morning, which, you know, 5-6, which is the people of Saratoga would just scoff at that because they're there at 11 o'clock the night before. But, you know, it really, really is a fun time that they put together. It's a fan friendly track, and you know, to have these big horses, big trainers, big name jockeys come in here, I mean, it gives them the feel of we're in the big time, if only for a day. But John Service and Butch Reed, you know, people go to Saratoga, but Butch Reed ships in, and he's done well up there. John Service has done well up there.
Yeah.
I believe he won a race up there this summer.
Yeah.
And the leader of the band, maybe? Was that who it was?
That sounds right.
But you know, they're very proud of what they do down here, and they're very proud to be able to showcase this track. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and again, some of those early stakes for Pennsylvania breds are going to showcase some of those locals, so that's good, too, on a big day like this, to put some of the locals out in front. And so applauding everybody down there for putting together a really great card, a great stakes card, nice full fields, great day of racing, and, you know, knock wood, as you say, the weather's going to hold up, so really looking forward to it. But, Tim, before we let you go, I wanted to touch on also, you've been on a little bit of a road trip right after the Saratoga meet. We were talking up at Saratoga, and you said you were headed down to Kentucky to join Jenny Reese and the team covering Kentucky Downs. I went to your Twitter feed. I pulled up a nice shot you had, I think, after the meet, kind of after the last race of the meet, it looks like, with the horses walking down the track and the paddock area, and you just get a sense of the rural atmosphere at Kentucky Downs. Yeah. Give us your thoughts on just the venue and the racing in general down at Kentucky Downs.
You know, when I had never been there before, and I had talked to, during Saratoga, I had talked to some people like Dale Romans and Al Stahl, and, you know, they know that place. And I said, what can I expect? And they said, it's going to be like something you've never been to before. And they were right. I mean, it's like, it's not like you know, you go into a track like Saratoga or Belmont or Churchill or Keeneland or even Parks. you know, where you have a grandstand and you have a track, a facility. It's none of that down there. It's like you have a big field and in the middle of a cow pasture. It's, I mean, really, and then they have a big, they build a big chalet that they use for the high rollers that come in, the owners, and they're big time owners that come in because, you know, face it, look, the purses that they run for down there are phenomenal. And the horsemen come, and then they have a, like a tent with tables that goes up almost the length of the stretch, and people can pay to go in there and sit at tables and watch the races. But for the general public, if you want to come in and don't want any of that, you can come in and tailgate at the top of the stretch. You can't go anywhere past the top of the stretch for some reason, because they don't want people going down, if they haven't paid for it, to go down by the finish line in the paddock area. But people do it. They go up there and they tailgate. And the racing was just really, really good. The only thing that was a bummer is that, you know, if it rains, and it rains hard, and it did that twice down there, you know, it's not like they have a dirt course that they can switch the races to. It's all grass. So when it starts pouring, the races, the one Sunday, I wasn't there the first Sunday they canceled, but I was there the second Sunday they canceled. Riders said it was unsafe to ride, and they called it off. And, of course, an hour later, it was sunny and beautiful, and if they had waited, I think they could have run the card. But I heard a rumor that some of the jocks had tickets to the Tennessee Titans game. They were going to that. It's a really cool place. It's laid back. You know, you got trainers, and the jocks room is basically, they got a big tent outside of a trailer sort of thing where they can go in and relax, but they sit out there, and a lot of it, and the press box is it's like a porch atop of the, where Larry Colmus, who was calling the races, was above us, and we would sit down on these tables in open air area, and when it rained, we got soaked, but it was a blast. It really was a lot of fun, and you know, when you get the big outfits to come in there, and you know, Mike Maker did a phenomenal job winning track record, I forget what it was, 15 races, something like that, 17.
Yeah.
And you know, the Ortiz brothers come in, Joel Rosario, all the big time jockeys are there. So it's just a great, great place to experience racing in a different setting, a different atmosphere. I would wildly recommend it if you've never been, to put it on your bucket list and go.
Yeah, I maybe next year after Saratoga. And what was your game plan? You fly into Nashville?
Flew into Nashville, played a few strings with the Gillies, and then went down. I mean, then went down to Franklin, Kentucky. It was about a 40-minute drive, and you know, basically, you can see Tennessee from where you are. I mean, it's right over the border. It's and the people come from all over the place. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I ran into a couple people that had been to Saratoga, so I mean, as fans. So it's not like nobody knows about this, and the full field. It's a puzzle to try to walk out of there with some money.
Yeah, well, that's nice full fields. If you get it right, you get paid. But the trouble is getting it right, because they're coming in from all over. It's a weird configuration, but it's fun. It is fun to play, and it's fun to watch. And
no question.
Maybe next year I make it down. I will say, I had Steve Bick on last week, and we talked a little Kentucky Downs with him, and I had pulled up a picture from his Twitter feed, and we talked about it with Steve last week. I'll have the guys in the control room pull that up again. Going from left to right, it's Rick Hammerly, it's Larry Colmus, it's Tim Wilkin, and it's Dan Issel down watching some races. What was that like?
NBA Hall of Famer. Really a good guy. He does a radio show down in, I believe, in Louisville, and he was up there doing his show the one day we were there, and I got to talking with him because I know George Carl. He used to coach with the Albany Patroons.
Oh, sure.
And he and Dan are friends. So I said to Dan, I said, we got to get some pictures so I can send them to George. And he told some stories, and really a nice guy. And he was a phenomenal player in his day. There's no doubt about that. And, I told him I played on the JV team at St. Bonaventure for 2 years, and he was about as impressed as you cannot be about anything else. But no, he was pretty cool.
Steve had pulled up the picture, that was fun last week, and I said when I had you on this morning, I had to pull that up as well, because again, it looked like fun just being down at Kentucky Downs, but that kind of thing adds to it. Tim, we appreciate the conversation this morning. Good luck to you and everybody at Parks this afternoon. What's the press box like down there today? Or do you have a sense of that yet? And is Dave Grenig, does the Racing Forum cover it? Is Grenig down there?
Dave is scheduled to be here.
Okay.
I mean, Tom Law is the taskmaster in here, and he's throwing people out of here left and right. I never knew that about him, but he's if any riffraff comes in here, it's like he's got a little whip, and he's kicked I think like 12 people out of here already. I think he kicked a couple. I think he kicked a couple of the mummers out of here.
He's kicking legitimate people out. He's so strict.
I know. I mean, he's a Saratoga special, you know.
Well, when I saw the names, I knew Parks was in good hands with you, Tom, and Anthony Affronti. And again, been reading some of the press stuff you've been putting out and been talking about it on the air today. So, wish you and everybody down there a lot of fun this afternoon. Tim, always appreciate the conversation, and envious of your road trips after Saratoga. But we'll talk again.
Sounds good, Seth. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Tim Wilkin, again, part of the notes team down there at Parks today on their just huge, huge day. All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll kind of wrap things up. I have some news and notes. And as I said earlier, going to go back for folks who maybe were working on Thursday. We'll go to the sulky side because the Little Brown Jug, the two eliminations were really good. And it set things up for a finale that played out very nicely as well on the sulky side back on Thursday at the Delaware County Fair. So we'll talk a little bit about that and more. When we come back, more on Racing Across America right after this. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on!
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an upside front! They're coming down to the finish! Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone! Birdstone surges past! Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes!
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Thursday I was in here doing OTB Live, and part of the coverage was the Delaware County Fair. It's always fun. There's essentially a Little Brown Jug week, so we've been covering Delaware County Fair on the network here all week long. But Thursday was Little Brown Jug Day. They had two eliminations. Race 15 and 16 on a 19 race card. They had 18 races to debut. They don't kid around. They have a big week and they make the most of it. But race 15 on Thursday, the first Little Brown Jug elimination, the favorite at 10 cents to the dollar. No surprise was By the Missile. By the Missile came into this race with an 8-for-10 record this year. And you can see that is By the Missile winning and winning pretty convincingly. In the first elimination, the chart margin is 4 lengths. The final time, 151.3, which for this type is not blazing. I mean, it's fast, but it wasn't blazing necessarily for this type of runner. But don't forget, We're on the harness side of things. They have one more race to go. So By the Missile, looking pretty good on the front end all the way around. In the first elimination, wins as the 10-cent to a dollar favorite, paying $2.20. That was race 15. Race 16, the next race, the favorite was Forever Boy. This one, 70 cents to the dollar. Forever Boy, not quite the win machine of By the Missile, having won 3 of 15 prior to this, and did it in a little bit different fashion, kind of sitting off the early pace and then powering down the stretch. Chart margin is just under 2 lengths. The final time, though, 151-3 for that By the Missile win, 151-4 for Forever Boy. And again, one was on the front end, one kind of sat off and had to make a late run and looked good doing it. I wrapped up OTB Live on Thursday before the finale, but I said, boy, it's going to be fun to watch this finale. A, to see where the betting public goes, because those were two really good performances by the horses that went off at short prices, did what they were expected to do, and did it in very comparable times, but with two different styles. Where's the betting public going to go, and how's it going to play out? We will watch the entire finale here, because again, off of those two eliminations, this set things up nicely to how's it going to play out here. I will say the betting, I was a little surprised. I guess with the race record, it made sense. After that elimination heat win, By the Missile was 9 for 11 so far this year, whereas Forever Boy was only 4 for 16. But given the way they did it, as I say, a little bit surprised that By the Missile went off as the 2-5 favorite, and Forever Boy was 3-1 as the second choice. I was a little bit surprised there was that much of a disparity. But By the Missile is going to be the number 2 horse, Forever Boy the number 1 horse, but you're also going to hear the call here. We'll show the entire finale going back to Thursday. It's the Delaware County Fair. You saw the two eliminations. This was race number 19 to wrap up the day. Thursday's Little Brown Jug.
For the Little Brown Jug! They're off in pacing on the inside. Forever Boy trying to hold position. By the Missile goes to the pylons. Up on the outside as they race around the turn, going to the first quarter mark. Now second on the outside and appears to be hung. Down the backside, Atlas Hanover racing fourth. In at the pylons, that's David Miller with Nighthawk as the field races over to the first quarter mark. Opening quarter, 27-1. Into the turn and going to the 3/8 mark on top of the field. It's Forever Boy with the lead. By the Missile getting the two-hole trip. Up the inside as they race around the turn, it's Nighthawk now third. Racing fifth down along the pylons is 6 feet apart as they pass the stand for the first time, coming to the halfway point on top of the field, showing the way at the halfway station in 55-3. It's Forever Boy By the Missile right there second, setting up the battle in the final half. Racing third on the inside, it's Nighthawk as they race to the backside in the 5/8 mark. Up on the outside, going to the three-quarter station. Racing on the inside, nowhere to go. 6 feet apart. Birthday Ascent, 3 wide on the outside. Gulf Shores is there, seventh, and trailing the field into the turn. As the race over to the three-quarter mark, 124-1. Midway around the final turn, here comes the battle. On the inside, Forever Boy with on the outside. It's By the Missile. By the Missile on the outside, gets to the front. Closing ground, Nighthawk on the outside. By the Missile, the battle's on for second and third. By the Missile wins the Little Brown Jug. 151-1/5.
Pretty good three-year-old pacer there, and a finale that played out the way you wanted it to is they entered the stretch 1-2. By the Missile just proved to be better, running the record now to what? 12 starts and added to it, 11 for 12 now? Or no, 10 for 10 for 11? whatever it is very, very good for by the missile. After normally you're not adding two more goes at it, but it's a very good. It is. It's 10 for 12 now because he was 10 for 12 because he was 8 for 10 and has the two wins. It took me a while to add the two and two because usually you're not adding two races in a day, but that's part of the fun of the harness side of things with by the missile getting it done. And it was interesting as well that they switched up kind of their running styles as compared to the elimination heats, leaving from the one Forever Boy got the lead. And with those fractions, those were, you know, very doable fractions, but by the missile, just too good. Again, with a phenomenal record this year, a really, really good three-year-old pacer. And again, going back to Thursday and the just the phenomenal performance in the Little Brown Jug at the Delaware County Fair. And again, race number 19 on the day. So a long day, but a fun day on the sulky side Thursday. I mentioned it earlier on the handicapper support. I printed up the current NTRA top 10 poll. And we talked about it on the handicapper support. For the first part of the year, there's a general poll, you know, just a complete thoroughbred poll. And then there is a separate three-year-old poll from the NTRA. But after the Triple Crown, they do away with that. And it is kind of funny that they do away with it. But now there is only the one poll. And interesting, Modern Games, after the win last week in the Woodbine Mile, gets up into the top 10 at number 10 as a three-year-old colt. And there are four three-year-olds in, three males and one female. Flightline is on top. Life is Good is second in the poll. And then we have the three-year-old Epicenter sitting third. Nest, three-year-old Philly, is tied for fourth with Olympiad. Jackie's Warrior sits at number six. Country Grammar is at number seven. Malathat, number eight. And then two more three-year-olds, Jack Christopher and Modern Games, number nine and number 10. So that's, again, the current NTRA poll. And really the, you know, with Modern Games stepping in kind of the, you know, weren't otherwise not too many shakeups in here from previous weeks. So the Woodbine Mile with Modern Games gets that three-year-old in to, again, put three three-year-olds in the poll. Maybe the most notable, the three-year-old Philly Nest, sitting at number four in the poll currently. Some news came out of Illinois, kind of interesting, you know, with the closing of Arlington Park. And I've been reading on Twitter, they have had some online, it's sad to say, they've had some online auctions of the facility, and the, you know, seats and banners and art and whatnot. And every once in a while, you'll read somebody on Twitter says, hey, I won one of the auctions. I went over to pick up my things. And, oh, it's sad to go into the facility and see weeds growing and whatnot. I mean, really one of the nicer tracks in the country, and it's sad to see Arlington go. But that leaves Hawthorne and the former Fairmount Park, which is now FanDuel Sportsbook and Horse Racing, as the only two tracks in Illinois. But starting next year, Hawthorne is going to have a summer schedule. They just kicked off their schedule for this year, their fall schedule, just a few days ago. But Hawthorne next year will run from, I'm looking, because the Fairmount schedule will be Tuesdays and Saturdays from April until November. The Hawthorne schedule is going to be March 4th through September 4th. With various days. There'll be some Saturdays and Sundays. There'll be some Wednesday racing scheduled. But essentially, there'll be summertime racing in Illinois again at Hawthorne starting next year. Again, unfortunate that Arlington has gone to the sidelines, but picking up the mantle, at least calendar-wise, is going to be Hawthorne a little bit more. As I say, they're underway right now with the schedule, which just started for the fall this year, but summertime next year. We're, 6 days in at Belmont at the Big A. Just thought I'd give you a little update on the human side of things and where we stand. Irad Ortiz, currently the leader on the jockey side, but not by much. Luis Saez, after the first 6 days, there, Irad at 10, Luis Saez at 9, and then it jumps down to a number of jockeys tied at 4, but up on top, Irad with 10, Luis Saez with 9, and on the trainer side of things, Chad Brown with 8 wins, Linda Rice with 6, and then you drop down to a number of trainers with 3 currently. So, you know, we're still early in this meet, but that gives you a little idea who's off to a nice start anyway. And some, I was going to say weird news. I don't know. Maybe giving this whole story, maybe it's just what you would expect. But in the Baffert case, that the hearing that went on for 6 days back in August, the hearing officer who was going to be the person to make a decision on the whole Medina Spirit issue after that hearing in August has now recused himself from the case because Clark Brewster, who is the attorney representing Medina Spirit owner, bought a horse at the recent Kentucky or the Keeneland sale that was owned, that was bred and owned and in the sale from the hearing officer. And Clark Brewster said, and it's completely understandable, I didn't know who bred the horse because you look at the catalog and typically that is not information that is in there. So he said subsequently he bought the horse and the horse was getting shipped to Florida for him and he was looking up more information on the horse and realized the mayor was at this farm. And, you know, then he contacted the folks at the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission. And I think the hearing officer said, this won't affect the way I do it, but they thought, you know, maybe the recusal was warranted. So now, you know, they had the 6 days, if you were following, you know, at the Daily Racing Forum or whatnot, they had this 6-day hearing with hours of testimony by people. And now they're debating, do they do the hearing again or do they hand it to a new officer and let that person look at the transcripts? So again, this whole Medina Spirit thing, which has been dragging on and on and on, likely to go on even more. As I say, I would have originally said, oh, a weird story. But given the way this has played out, maybe it's just expected that some twist and turn would fall into it like this. So we will keep our eyes and ears down to Kentucky and see how this eventually plays out with Medina Spirit and the whole Kentucky Derby situation from a couple of years ago. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for Racing Across America for this Saturday morning. I will be back in for TV tomorrow, Racing Across America at 10 a.m. and back in tomorrow afternoon for OTB Live. But this afternoon, I'm going to be at the Queensbury branch. I'm going to be joining the folks for the Customer Appreciation Day at the Queensbury branch. If you're up that way, if you're a patron, stop by so we can say thank you to you for your patronage at the Capital OTB branch this afternoon at Queensbury, in Queensbury. We'll have some food and contest and whatnot. Should be a lot of fun. So that'll be my game plan. I'm on the road for this Saturday afternoon, but again, back in tomorrow for the Sunday edition of Racing Across America a little bit later on OTB Live. But as far as Saturday TV, we're going to wrap it up here and invite you to tune in for lots of great action today. You know, obviously great action as usual in New York, Belmont at Aqueduct, but a really nice stakes card at Churchill. I think there's 4 stakes on the card today at Churchill. You will see some familiar names in and amongst that bunch this afternoon into this evening. Echo Zulu scheduled to go in the Dogwood a little bit later on. That will have a post time of about 10:15 tonight at Churchill, as they do have an evening card that'll kick off at 6:00. The Parks card, however, with the Pennsylvania Derby and lots of great stakes action, kicks off today at 12:05 with the Pennsylvania Derby itself scheduled for 6:10 this evening. So should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. We'll recap a lot of it tomorrow on Racing Across America at 10 a.m. So we'll wrap it up for today, but we'll be back in tomorrow for Racing Across America, and we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.